Friends, we're grateful for the good providence of God that we can be together tonight again in this capacity. And I want you to know how much I appreciate all of you who have come out. This is not the most convenient weather for us to have here in a gospel meeting, but I suppose we need that rain. And I appreciate so much, brethren, who come from Smithville, and Brother Jeff, one of our deacons at East Main, and one that you know about. Boy that grew up here, and I told Jeff I hadn't already. Let me tell you, don't say anything about anybody. You're talking about their kin folks. I found that out on Sunday morning. But it's good to be with you. Tonight, our lesson is from the book of John, chapter 6, verse 68. There is a question that's asked. Will you also go away? Peter responded and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Last night we presented a lesson concerning the church that we read about in the New Testament. Tonight I want to notice with you the subject, why so many people today are leaving the Church of Christ. Not a very pleasant subject to talk about, but it's a fact. And there are a number of people that are leaving. And I want to share with you why. But first of all, let's look at the background from the book of John, chapter 6. Our Lord was teaching. The people were making their way for Passover to the city of Jerusalem. And so great crowds would hear about Jesus, and they would assemble together to hear his great messages. But on this occasion, must have been a time of hunger because the Lord asked about food regarding his disciples, and the response was, we can't get enough food to feed all these people, 5,000 men, not counting women and children. And so the Lord told them to have them sit down. They did sit down on that ground, and Andrew said, there's only one little boy here with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But you recall how that the Lord took those 5 loaves and 2 fishes after he had given thanks to the Father for them. And there were baskets. They were passed among the crowd. Folks ate. And after they finished eating, there were 12 baskets that were still filled with those loaves and fishes. Now the Lord had a purpose in doing that. The disciples didn't understand. And John says that when the Lord asked them what they were going to do, he already knew what he was going to do. But our Lord left that area, and during the night, the disciples followed. While they were out on the sea there, there's a storm came up. And in the middle of the night, they are afraid, and the Lord came walking on the water to them. He said to them, it's I, be not afraid. It's interesting to know how that the text says that immediately they were at the other shore. I'll leave that to you to guess how they got there. But the next day, that great crowd assembled again, perhaps even more. And when our Lord saw that crowd, here's what he said to them. You're not seeking me for the miracles, but for the loaves and the fishes. Because you see, earlier they had wanted to make him their king. And that's why the Lord left that crowd of people. He knew they didn't understand concerning the nature of his kingdom. And so they left. For the Lord left them there on the shore. Now they've returned. Now our Lord has an opportunity to do more teaching. But this time he teaches something that's unusual. And there's a reason for it. After what they had already witnessed, they ask him the question, now you're making these claims, now you prove it. Show us. Give us a sign. And then they continued to say, our fathers in the wilderness were fed manna. And the Lord responded and said, it wasn't Moses that gave that bread to your fathers. It was my Father in heaven. And in John 6:35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I'm sure, ladies and gentlemen, they never heard a statement like that from any man. And then our Lord said some things that somewhat must have startled them. He used such expressions as, if you do not eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will have no life in you. Now in verse 64, I believe it is, they said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? Now friends, that hard saying is not from the idea that it was hard for them to understand, but it was hard for them to accept. They understood what the Lord was saying. The one who had taken those 5 loaves, 2 fishes, and fed that great multitude, and then he talks about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, or you'll have no life in you because I'm the bread of life. They understood. They just didn't like what he said because they wanted to follow Moses. That's what their fathers had done. That's what they wanted to continue to do. They made the claim that they believed the writings of the prophets, but the prophets that wrote about Jesus, they were rejecting the message that was being written. You know, sometimes people use such expressions as the Lord has just used in a different way. Here's an individual, we say, he eats, drinks, and breathes ball. We don't think that he's eating a ball, whether it's a basketball, baseball, golf ball, whatever. We understand that that's the life. That's what is so important. And so they understood, but they didn't like that. But then the sad statement is in verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples, now let me pause there and say that a disciple is a student, a learner, and more specific, a follower. Now here are those that are following the Lord. They're like students. Jesus is the master teacher. They're the students. They're the learners. But when Jesus taught them some things that they needed to hear, they didn't want that. Now, as long as he could provide for them the material things of life, they were interested. And that's why he said, you're not seeking me because of the miracles, but the loaves and fishes. Because the miracles would confirm the claim that he has made to them. That he is the Messiah. He's the Christ. And so verse 66 says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then he turns to the 12. That's the apostles. And he asked them the question, will you also go away? And then notice Simon Peter often got his foot in his mouth, but this time he stated something worth listening to. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou, not Abraham, not Moses, not the prophets, thou hast the words of eternal life. Friends, I want you to notice that's a sad statement in reality because here are people who were following the one who created heaven and earth and sustains life and gave life to those people that were before him just as he gives life to you and me tonight. And they chose to turn away from him. That's a sad thing, isn't it? In 2013, there is a magazine that is titled Think for the Brad Harrod. I know you've heard the name. It is the publisher of that magazine. There was a title that got my attention. Why I Have Left the Church of Christ. And the article that was written gave the so-called excuses To them it was reasons why various ones had left the Lord's church. There were 672 responses of the questionnaire that had been sent out. They came all the way from elders to average members of the church. And it was amazing to see the response that people gave as to why they left and why they have left the Lord's church. Among those excuses, some said the sermons were too short. Now that's quite unusual, isn't it? Others said the sermons were just too long and just too boring. One of the things that was said was that the church where I attend, they just simply refuse to use instrumental music and have skits during worship, because I could understand the word much better using those things. The top three was this: where I go to church, or did go to church, they taught doctrine. Some said it was because of hypocrisy that they left. And others said it was because of legalism. One of the primary factors that was stated was that some said it was just a lifeless church. One person in particular wrote this and said, "The Holy Spirit deserted the church when the New Testament was written according to Church of Christ doctrine." Unquote. And so we're looking tonight at a subject based upon John 6 and verse 66, where that in the first century there were those that left the Lord, and now in the 21st century there are those that are leaving the Lord's church. And I'm not going to go back over the lesson I presented last night, but simply to point out to you, in Matthew 16, 18, our Lord said, "I will build my church." We emphasized last night, that's the church we're talking about, and that's the church that we're talking about tonight. Last night, we emphasized from the scriptures how people became members of the church in the first century, and pointed out that that's exactly how folks become members of the Lord's church in the 21st century. And so when we're asking the question, why is it that people are leaving the Church of Christ today? What is the answer? Well, it's very simple, isn't it? Because they make that choice. Just as these disciples, as they're identified by John in John 6 and verse 66, as they chose to walk away from the Lord, there are those that are choosing to do the same thing. And what I want you to notice is this: our Lord didn't take off after them. He just turned to those that were his disciples, in the sense they were apostles, and said, "Are you going to follow them?" The King James Translation says, "Will you also go away?" And so the choice was left up to them, was it not? But look where Peter took his stand. "Lord, we're going to stay with you." Why? Because you are the one and the only one, as it were, that has the words of eternal life, and we believe and we are sure that you are that Messiah. You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. But for the next few minutes of our lesson tonight, I want us to think about three things as to why people today are leaving the church. I know that the majority of you that are present tonight are members of the Lord's church. And I just hope that the lesson will encourage you to stay where you are and not follow the crowd that's occurring today. One of the main reasons, friends, that people leave the Lord's church is they will not accept the truth. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." That is almost exactly what the Lord was saying in John 6, was it not? When he talks about, I'm the bread of life, it was not Moses that gave you that manna in the wilderness. It was my Father. And I came down from heaven, from my Father, as the bread of life. And if you don't have me, you don't have life. Now, he used a figurative expression, as he often did. If you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you won't have any life in you. But Jesus says, I am not only the way to the Father, but I am the truth. You remember in John chapter 17, verse 17, Jesus said, thy word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, the word of God is true. It is the truth, and it's going to stand. When this world is on fire and dissolves, God's truth will continue to stand. Jesus said he is the only way to the Father. In the book of Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27, Paul said, you're children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And notice the word A-L-L. You're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, who does he mean by all? He points it out. Jew and Gentile. Well, how did they get to where they are now? Paul explains it in verse 27. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, did put on Christ. Sonship of the Father is in Jesus Christ. A relationship with the Father is in Jesus Christ. Fellowship with the Father is in Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Christ is the very source of truth. If you look at the book of John chapter 18 now in verse 37, Jesus is standing before Pilate, the governor, Judea, in that area. And Pilate says to him, are you the king? And he responds and says, thou sayest that I am king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should be where, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Now notice what he says. Everyone that is of truth heareth my voice. Is that not what Peter said? When they were asked the question, will you go away? Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Jesus later said to Pilate, everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Now there was a time when they heard the voice of Moses, the law that God gave through him. There was a time when they heard the message of the prophets. But now they are to hear the voice of the Son of God if they desire truth. But there are so many people today that do not desire truth. Last night we presented the truth concerning the plan of salvation. We presented from the scriptures the truth concerning the one body identified as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know as well as I do, there are people that do not accept the truth. They don't want the truth. Why is this truth so important? Because it was revealed by the Holy Spirit of God. In John 14, 26, our Lord, speaking to the apostles, said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance what I have said unto you. Now notice that carefully. The Holy Spirit would bring to the minds of the apostles all that Jesus had said to them. He's identified as the comforter, the guide, the helper. Why? Jesus had been their comforter for 3 years. He had been their guide. He had been the one to lead them. But he's told them in John chapter 13 and 14 that he's going away. But he's not going to leave them without a comforter, a guide, one who will lead them in the right direction. And he identifies that comforter as the Holy Spirit. Those apostles were like you and me. You won't remember when you leave this building tonight everything I've told you. You may not even remember half or one third of what I've said. They couldn't remember either. They needed help. And so the Lord told them he would send the Holy Spirit to them. And notice again now, he said, he will bring to remembrance all things that I've said to you. Not just half of what I said, or a fourth of what I said. He'll tell you and guide you in all the things that I've taught you. Then in John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all the truth. He shall not speak of himself. That is, he's not going to originate this truth that he's going to lead you in. But whatsoever he heareth, that shall he speak, and shall show you things to come. And so the source of this truth is not from the Spirit himself, but he is the guide, and the source is from God, the Father and the Son. And so the Holy Spirit, who also is identified as God, that's the family name, Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Spirit's identified as God. He also, in his role, is going to reveal to you what is the mind of God. And these apostles would be able to teach others the truth. The second thing that I want to note with you is this. The reason folks are leaving the church, not only because they won't accept the truth, but because they won't accept Jesus Christ. There are some folks that just simply fail to realize something so important, friends. When you choose to leave the church, you automatically leave Christ. Now, why do I pause and emphasize that? Because I've had folks to tell me, I know I'm not going to church anymore, but I still love the Lord and I'm still faithful to the Lord. Friends, I want to suggest to you that that's impossible. If you leave the church, the body of Jesus Christ, you're going to leave the Lord. Why? Last night we emphasized from the scriptures, there is one head, that's Christ. There is one body identified as the church. That is an entity. That is God's orchestration regarding salvation. Because we observed two things. One, that reconciliation of Jew and Gentile took place in one body. That body is identified as the church. Number two, that Jesus is the Savior of the body. Ephesians 5:23. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 20, Paul said to the church at Corinth, there are many members, one body. Paul came to Corinth and taught them the gospel. You read about it in Acts chapter 18. Those people obeyed the gospel in Corinth just like the people did on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. Acts 18:8 says, many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. That's exactly what happened on the day of Pentecost. And Luke says, the Lord adds to the church those that are saved. So in the city of Corinth, here came Paul, left Athens, Greece, went into Corinth, taught the gospel. Great many people there obeyed the gospel. They're added by the Lord to the church. So there is one body. Christ is the head of that body, located there in Corinth. Now, what church is it in Corinth? What church was it in Jerusalem? It's the same in Corinth that it was in Jerusalem. Has the same head in Corinth, same body. Many members in that one body, but one head and one body. Now, when you sever a member from your physical body, it dies. Why? It's no longer connected to the body, which is directed by the head as the life-giving source. It doesn't have that spirit of life in it any longer. The blood doesn't flow. Remember, the church, purchased by the blood, in a figurative sense, flows in his body. You say, well, where in the Bible do you read that? 1 John 1, verse 7. We walk in the light as he is in the light. The blood of Jesus cleanseth us from all sin. There it is. So just as blood flows through our body, and as long as we live, it'll continue, that's how the blood flows through the body of Christ. And so when you leave the church, friend, you disconnect yourself from Christ. In the book of John, chapter 12, verses 42 and 43, John says, among the chief priests, many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they wouldn't confess him, lest they be put out of synagogue. Now watch this. They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Does that have any connection with what we're thinking about tonight? Absolutely it does. There are people that will not follow the truth, the teachings of our Lord, because there are others and the majority that do not follow the straight and narrow way, as our Lord talked about in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Second, in John 12 and verse 48, Jesus said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. What's the point? That text teaches us that when you reject the word of Jesus, guess who else you reject? You reject Jesus. When Adam and Eve chose to eat the forbidden fruit, regardless of whether Eve was deceived by the devil, regardless of whether Adam, with his eyes wide open, so to speak, because the woman usurped authority in that sense and gave to him and he did eat, that's beside the point. When they both chose to eat the forbidden fruit, they automatically forfeited their right to the tree of life. According to the scriptures, when one chooses to leave the church of Christ, they automatically leave the Christ of the church, because he is the head. Now, there's another thing I want to emphasize so strongly. John 6:68, again, our text. Peter said what? In essence, Lord, we're not going to do like these other disciples. Lord, who are we going to go to? You're the one that has the words of eternal life. Now, if you have the word of eternal life, why would we go away from you? And so, friends, I hope you see from the scriptures, the very foundation of this lesson is you leave Christ when you leave the body of Christ, identified as the church. But as you look at John 6:68, you realize something. Not everybody is going to leave. Not everyone's going to leave. You know, for some time I've been hearing about universities. For some times I've been hearing about various congregations. Yesterday, one of our members sent me an email that comes through the computer, those who may not know what that is, and I think all of you do. It is a congregation in a near state, a little over 200 members. The statement simply is something like this. The elders have announced to the congregation that after careful consideration and prayer and study, they have decided that they are going to enlarge the role of the women in that congregation. They are going to allow women to serve communion, the emblems, I believe is how they worded it. They're going to allow their women to make announcements. They're going to allow their women to pray. And I'm assuming the way that's worded, they mean lead prayers. Because our women at East Main pray every time we meet. They just don't stand in a leadership position doing it, as the scriptures do not authorize them to do it. And so they're going to read the scriptures. And I'm assuming that they will read the scriptures from the podium. And I wondered when I read that, how long would it be before they will make a comment after they've read those scriptures? I was in a meeting in Mississippi three weeks ago to be exact. One of the brethren came up before the Lord's Supper and read a few passages of scripture. He made a comment. That's usually a general thing that's done at times in various congregations. Friends, is the Bible not clear in those matters? And you wonder why people are leaving the Lord's church? You don't have to take the sign off the building to leave the Lord. If you think you do, read Revelation chapter 2, the first few verses. Go down to about verse 5. And you've already covered it. The Lord warned the church at Ephesus, "You've left your first love." Do you know what that meant? They've fallen out of love with the Lord. They are no longer following His directions. They're no longer faithful to Him as they once were. And I find no indication that they decided to leave, but the Lord says, "I will remove your candlestick out of its place." Now our Lord very clearly said in John chapter 4 and verse 24, "They that worship the Father must," that's an imperative, "worship Him in spirit and in truth." There are folks today in the churches of Christ in which that doesn't appeal to their heart's desire. What are we going to do? Are we going to do as some cave in? Are we going to say, "Look, we need to liven things up"? Now, I'm not talking about we ought to have dull worship services. I'm not even implying that. But what I want to say is something like this. Folks, we can't compete with modernism or postmodernism. We can't compete with a Charlie Daniels band in a worship service. There's a big old religious group down there at Murfreesboro. I've got how many thousands they have. Someone told me around 5,000-6,000. For the last few years, I believe it's Easter time, they have Charlie Daniels band to come during their worship service. We can't compete with that. Then there are those that are having skits, that is, rather than your preacher coming up and preaching. Just as one has said, if you're not going to have these skits, I'm not going to be able to understand the word. Really? I remember Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:21, "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." And so what's the solution? To do what Peter said, accept Christ by accepting the word of Christ, the truth, and realize that everyone is not going to leave. And so friends, I close with 1 Corinthians 15:24, because Paul said when the end comes, He will deliver the kingdom back to the Father. The kingdom is identified as the church, Matthew 16:18-19. If you're not a member of the church tonight, we hope that we've said something that will encourage you to think seriously about your soul condition. If you are a member of the church and you're not living faithful, we sing the song of invitation as we all nearly do. If there are desires in your heart that we can assist you with,